In the Bible, the prophet said, "Bring me the harp and play." And when he played, the Spirit moved into the midst. And did he pray? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Keep your thumb there and also open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'll be reading verses 14, 15, 16, and 17 as well. The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen. So what does this mean for us who walk and profess our Christianity? Now up to this point, brothers and sisters, for the last 5 months, we've covered the last five chapters of Romans. We've been talking about the doctrine of justification. A declaration by God, from Him, to the one who receives Christ with faith, he is declared righteous. He is declared justified. And we've talked about that over and over and over again as Paul has led us to this understanding, justification. Salvation is not only, however, a declaration of justification. It's also about transformation. It's also about change. It's also about conversion that happens inside. It's about discovering the new man and saying goodbye to the old man. And that's what Paul wants to address now as we go into the doctrine of sanctification, that work that God is doing in you now that you have come to receive His Son. And we will get some understanding about that today. Now, if you'll look in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, these verses I'm going to read are going to be confirmation to what Paul's going to talk about more specifically in chapter 6. So, 2 Corinthians, these verses give us kind of an overview, if you will, of what Paul's going to be really specific about in chapter 6 of Romans. And I don't know about you, but it helps me to get an overview sometimes for some other places that Paul wrote so that when he gets into the nitty-gritty stuff that's really more difficult to understand, it illuminates Scripture, if you will, and it builds itself up and we can actually understand it. Praise God. For these things are what? Spiritually discerned. Amen. Verse 14, it says, "For the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf." Verse 16 goes on to say, "Therefore, from now on we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." And on that statement, we rest and say, glory to Jesus Christ, who continues to do a work in us. Because we have been justified, it is just the beginning of what God does in your Christian faith and in your Christian journey. Salvation involves transformation. If you want to know if you truly are a Christian, you have to look at your life and discern the evidences that this transformation can actually be seen. It can be heard. It can be witnessed by the new man within you that sees the change. To know, I didn't do this. I couldn't be this person. Jesus has done this and continues to do this for us. There is a change in us. The evidence of a transformed life reveals the evidence of a reality of your justification then, amen? Justification is a declaration, however. It's not an experience, if you will. Transformation is the experience of your salvation. It's the joy that, ladies, that you're going to be studying when you come together. That's the true joy of the transformed life. The one that can go through hard times because you've been renewed. Because the old man was defeated, the new man can persevere through the grace of Jesus Christ because He lives in us. Amen? That is it. That is it. We are not just declared righteous, we are then made righteous. In Romans 5, Paul makes this claim that we talked about last week in verse 20, where sin increased, listen to this, where sin increased, grace abounded more. Now, the question I ask, and what Paul's going to address right away in chapter 6, first verse, is what might someone conclude from that statement? Where sin increased, grace abounded much more. Well, a description of a people group that I gave you probably, I don't know, 2-3 months ago now. Antinomianism, if you will. So we can glorify God by sinning more, so that He can be glorified by giving us more grace. You know, if salvation was just about justification alone, declared justified, I would say that they might have a valid claim. But there's a change in the Christian life. Amen? There is evidence of the change. That's why we don't go on sinning, because we don't want to go on sinning. As a matter of fact, the new man hates to sin, detests sin, understands sin the way God understands sin, and simply doesn't want to do it. That's the change. In fact, the whole language, the whole body changes, if you will. Why don't we keep on sinning? Because we've changed. Because, does that mean that we won't sin? No. And we'll get to that. And why? But we're going to understand it doesn't rule us anymore. So what shall we say then? Turn to back now to chapter 6. Romans, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? That's verses 1 and 2. To understand the message today and what Paul is going to help us understand is, you were justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. You were justified by your faith in Christ alone, but you were justified when you died. You were justified because you died. And now that you have, you are a new creation. Sin had control over us. Death reigned, right? We were helpless. That's when we knew we needed Jesus. Because there wasn't anything else, no person, no other way that we were going to be rescued. And we understood our helplessness. That was the old man. Sin, we've discovered, was in us. The sin nature, right? That controlled us. It reigned over us. Justification happened when we died to that and lived in Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is going to build on here. Build on the fact that you are now a new creation. We can go with the justification now. You who have received my Son, I can now begin to build in your life and grow you in your faith and help you understand some things about sin that you never really probably understood before, now that you have Christ in you and can see it for what it really is. He goes on in verse 3 to say, "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death." Now, I want to just say that we're not talking about water baptism. In fact, Romans doesn't say a thing about water baptism. What we're talking about is being immersed into Christ. He is immersed then into us. You are in Christ, Christ is in you. Christ says, abide in me. I will abide in you. He does abide in us. We have been justified. Christ is now in us. That's what it means to be a Christian. He is in us. In fact, the Bible says, if you then, now that Christ is in you, would even want to lay down with a harlot, do you understand that Jesus would be as well? And that's why you can't do it. What a built-in protection we have then, therefore, because Christ is in us to protect us. Remember, sin is no longer in us, but sin is around us. What we have done when we are immersed in Christ then, think about this, we've joined Him in His surrender to God's will. We're not just in Christ and Christ in us, that is true, but we are also surrendering to God's will the way that Jesus Christ, His one and only begotten Son, surrendered to His will. So your prayers have changed. It's no longer, Lord, I need this, or Lord, I want this. It's been changed. The new man says, Lord, I want what You want. I want what You know I need. I want exactly what You have already declared that You are going to give me as I have been justified and now walking into the sanctification. I want what You want. Amen? That's surrendering to whose will? That's surrendering to God's will. That's what the new man does. That's what the new man longs for. It's what he wants to taste. That's what he wants to feel. How does this happen exactly? Paul goes on to say now in verse 4, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. We were buried with Him by the baptism into death. We've died. Amen. We have died. You know, and all of heaven, when we die, what's all of heaven do? Rejoice. There is rejoicing in heaven from even one sinner who's been turned and saved. They rejoice. So, think about this. We have died. We have had that white throne burial. Christ, that first judgment has been determined. And through the blood of His atonement, we are now free in the name of Jesus Christ. We have now been judged and found washed, found renewed, saved, and we have it. And now that we're in Jesus Christ, He protects us because we are in Him, and we understand that we have died to the old way. That old man is gone. And now it says we should walk in the newness of life. You should understand this. You are now transformed. Awesome. You are now transformed. You're a new creature. You're a new creation. Brand new. Exactly what God intended from the moment that He had the vision of creating man. You've been transformed. For if we have been planted together, it goes on to say in verses 5 and 6, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, through His death, the power of sin is broken. What is He talking about here? Remember, Paul said, you know, it's not I that sin, it's the sin within me. It's not me, it's the sin within me. What is that? It's the sin nature. The power of that sin nature has been destroyed. Christ defeated it. He destroyed it. He destroyed the power of it. But no, Christian, He didn't destroy the presence of it. It's still here. Also notice, we're still in our fleshly bodies, right? It's still here. But sin's not in us. It's not internal anymore. It's external. hence put on the armor of God. Right? Because it's out there. It's no longer in here to rule you. It's out there to want to interrupt you. Amen? That's what it is. The new man gets interrupted by sin. He's not ruled by it because he's not even alive anymore. He's gone. Amen? So we should walk in that. You're new. Walk in the newness of this life. That's the body of sin that's been destroyed, and we need to understand, you know, the old man has been crucified. I go here. All right, I'm sorry, guys. The old man has been crucified. The old man is gone. I want to read you an old Cherokee teaching here. And I got permission from my wife. She's Cherokee. And she understands this. I think we've all heard this before, but I want to set something straight because the Word of God's going to do it. Okay, here's the old Cherokee teaching. A grandfather is teaching his grandson about life. He said, "A fight is going on inside of me." He said to the boy, "It is a terrible fight, and it's between two wolves. One is evil." He has anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. He continued, "The other is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith." The same fight is going on inside of you and inside of every other person too. Yes, and then the grandson, this is kind of what he did. He thought about it for a minute. And then he asked his grandfather, "Which wolf will win?" And the old Cherokee simply replied, "Yeah, the one you feed. The one you feed." Well, you know what? I've heard that before, and I've heard it preached before, but it's not true. That's not what the Bible teaches. The old man and the new man are not side by side. You don't have the old man and the new man in you. If you have the old man, you do not have the new man. If you have the new man, you do not have the old man. Amen? That's what the Bible says, because you've been crucified. The old man is gone. Amen. And now what you receive, now who you are, is what Jesus Christ is doing in your life in the process of sanctifying you, of being sanctified, of being understood. You now can discern things spiritually because the new man is spiritual. The Bible begins to make more sense now. In fact, where before you couldn't understand it, the Bible says natural man just can't understand it. The old man did not have a chance because sin would reign and steal and rob and take it away, but the new man can understand. So this idea of, well, you know, the old man's kind of strong today, and this is why I'm living this way right now, but I'm still saved. That's not transformation. That's not transformation, is it? And we've seen this before. And maybe you're struggling with this yourself. Why is it that I still slip and do the same old things? Well, why would that be? That's what the old man would do. If the old man is gone, you wouldn't be doing that. The difference is, if your new man is there and the old man is gone, and you say, why haven't I arrived? Why do I keep falling into this trap? But I can't stand it. The things I do, I don't want to do. The things that I don't want to do, I do. If you're there, then you're where Paul's at in the beginning of what? His sanctification. You're at the beginning. You've been transformed, but now you need to understand the enemy is interrupting you. Satan is waiting for an opportune time to come into you and change you and destroy anything that he can. And if he can't get to you personally, he'll circumvent and go through other people in your life. And so you begin to see, I need the armor of God. And your new man reads, and your new man prays, Satan, get thee behind me. I know that if I come to the Lord Jesus Christ, I can resist him. That's what the new man does. The new man can go through a trial and not complain about all the things that have fallen upon him. The new man can say, all these things are happening, but we're going to bless the name of the Lord God, for the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's a new understanding of your circumstance. There's a new understanding of the trial. This is where the new man rejoices and has joy in it. Not because of the trial, but because of the result of the trial. It's kind of like we don't celebrate the cross, we celebrate the result of the cross. We are no longer slaves of sin. See, sin had dominion over the natural man. But he's gone. Sin interrupts us. Sin still has a presence. Even though the body of sin has been destroyed, it's still out there. And that's something we need to understand. I think that's something we do understand, don't we? We've been transformed. We've been justified. And we walk in this understanding that, you know, there's sometimes that, you know, just that trial. And you know what? God says, that's why there's fellowship. That's why there's prayer cover. James says, that's why we should confess our sins to one another. Not because we're sinful, but because we are transformed. Right? Confess those. The new man confesses his sins. Right? The old man isn't even aware. Will hide in the darkness. The new man, once you've experienced the light, who Jesus Christ is, and there's no darkness in him whatsoever, that's what you desire. It's a change in your appetite. Right? It's a change in your habits. Before Christ, I wasn't listening to anybody. I was too busy talking. The new man listens. The new man might not even speak until the Lord gives him a word. Are you feeling good? The sin nature no longer exists in us. The presence of sin surrounds us. You know what we're slaves of now? Where are we at here? Not doing very good with the clicker today, am I? We are now slaves to righteousness. Christ is in us. Think about that. Christ never did anything that his Father didn't ask him to do. He didn't go outside of the parameters of his Father. And, you know, when you're transformed and you're this new Christian and you're so excited, one of the things that I always like to do is when I got an idea of where the Lord was going or some idea about it, I just, boom, full force, here we go. You know, and I'd run ahead of God and mess everything up, you know. He brought me back. You know, he brings us back. And we realize that, wow, before I'd have just ran headlong into and doing it my way, want to have total control, want to say this is the way we're going to do things. I'd even look to other people to say, well, how do you think we should do this? And you know, there's a good time to do that, but only when we say, well, let's open up the Word of God and see where God's leading us. How about that? That's what the new man does. The new man opens up the book. The new man doesn't have a thought of his own anymore because we are ruled by righteousness. You wonder, how did somebody change? Well, this is how. They've been justified. And now the Lord's doing a work in them. That's how. How is it that this person can persevere so many things? Because they've been transformed. The new man survives. The new man doesn't fight Satan. The new man puts on the armor of God and is able to stand and still be standing after the assaults. We serve different things. You know, we will serve who our master is, right? Paul is going to talk to us next week about that very thing. Hey, what are you paying attention to? What are you listening to? What are you watching? What are you doing? He's going to get into spiritual disciplines. The new man becomes aware when you're too much in the world. You know what? Christ is in you. The new man can be in the world, but understand what it means to be in it and not of it. Okay? How to be in it, but not of it. We have to be in it. We are surrounded by those that we have to be with. The Lord, the righteousness, will put you in places you've never even thought you should go before. And do things and say things that you never ever would have thought to say before. Because you're ruled by righteousness. See, Christ doesn't free us to do what we want to do. He frees us to do what He needs us to do. Amen? Praise God. That's we're ruled by righteousness. It says here, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Some would call it backsliding. There's an opportunity for us to fall into that. But I tell you what, you can no longer, once you have the new man, you can no longer go back to the old one. It might look like that, but that is not what it is. Again, sin, and Jesus Christ said He is formidable. If you do not put on the armor of God, you can be very, very, very crushed. Think of what that does to your witness. Think what that does to those who are looking around you. In fact, that's why Jesus said to Peter and to the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Well, you're the Lord, you're the Son of God." And Jesus said to him, "Oh, Peter, no man told you that. That came from God. And on this rock I will build my church." That understanding of who Jesus Christ is as the Son of God is the foundation of where we gather. The new man gathers under the promises of Jesus Christ. The new man doesn't leave church. The new man is in Christ. We go wherever He goes. He goes wherever we go. The reason we can't live the way we lived before is because that guy is gone. The new man is in Jesus, and we are a slave to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Be secure. Have assurance. Rejoice. Somebody say amen. Because that is a glorious thing. Indeed. You know, from this point on, it says, we live to God. I remember my son. He sat over there in the chair and he watched me. I had the Bible in my lap. And he would watch and he would watch, and I would read and I would read day after day after day after day after day. No more golf. No more bowling. And pray and pray. You know, the new man knows when your prayer life has stalled. Just to give you a little indication of where Paul's going with this, the new man knows if you haven't been praying. The new man knows if you haven't been reading the Word of God. The new man knows whether you've been reading it for yourself or whether you've been reading it because God wants to bring you into lives of somebody else. The new man begins to want what God wants for that person. The new man wants to have the vision that God has for others so that he can just be still and let God move in his life. We hunger for the Word, don't we? We thirst for the truth, don't we? And you know when you have it, you look at your loved ones, and the new man cannot get up off the floor until he's exhausted praying for those who are not yet saved. Your son, your daughter, your wife, your friends. You can't get up off the floor because the new man understands the truth. And we learn to pray outside of ourselves for the lives of others. In fact, in these spiritual disciplines that we will walk in, we learn to fast for others because we're ruled by righteousness. It's not something we do because we feel like we should. It's something we do because Christ brings us there. He's already there. And so there we are also. Amen? Praise God. From this point on, we live to God. In Jesus' name. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that the old man is gone. And we are a new creature, as you say. We are thankful, Lord, that you have begun this work in us. We know that we haven't arrived yet. We're still in the flesh. We know that. We know that sin is out there. Help us to come to your word and live under its protection. Help us to know what it means to abide in you always and you abide in us, to always go to you in prayer. Not just when it's bad, but all the time. Even in the good times. Mostly in the good times. To recognize and give you glory. Oh, be glorified, Jesus. Be glorified. In your holy name we pray. Amen.